Good evening, everyone. Welcome back. I'm glad to see so many of you came back. That means for sure you're all sinners, because tonight's confession night. And welcome to the club. So how tonight will go is again, we'll have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, a time of adoration, time to praise our Lord. And shortly after that, Father Anthony will give a short talk. And after that, I will finish what I started last night. And when I begin talking, the confessions will begin. So at that time, feel free to go to confessions. And then there won't be any benediction tonight. So after you've gone to confession, you've prayed your penance, feel free to stay as long as you like, or you can head home at any point at that time. But we'll begin shortly. And again, tomorrow night we'll have our closing healing service at 7 p.m. tomorrow night as well.
Okay, brothers and sisters, we're just going to open with a short song of prayer. It's really simple words. It's everything that I am, everything I long to be, I lay it down at your feet. So we're just going to sing that. Everything that I am, everything I long to be, I lay it down at your feet. Everything that I am, everything I long to be, I lay it down at your feet. Everything that I am, everything I long to be, I lay it down at your feet. Everything that I am. Everything that I am, everything I long to be, I lay it down at your feet. Everything, everything that I am, everything I long to be, I lay it down at your feet. I lay it down, I lay it down, I lay it down at your feet. I lay it down, I lay it down, I lay it down at your feet. See everything that I am. Everything that I am, everything I long to be, I lay it down at your feet. Everything that I am, everything I long to be, I lay it down at your feet. I lay it down, I lay it down, I lay it down. Please kneel. I lay it down, I lay it down, I lay it down at your feet.
O salutaris hostia, quae celi pandis ostium, Bella premunt hostilia, dado ber fier auxilium, unitrino quae domino, sit semper terna gloria, qui vitam sine in eternis.
Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you, we worship you, we honor you, we adore you here, Lord. We give you thanks. We give you thanks for all of your blessings in our life. We know, Lord, perhaps the greatest thing that we have to give thanks to you is for your mercy. Lord, you forgive us. You forgive our failings, our shortcomings of our past. Even more than that, Lord, you're so patient with us. You're kind and you're gentle. Even when it seems we turn away from you the most, we're the hard-hearted, most hard-hearted, most stubborn, most obstinate, most callous. Lord, we do know and we trust in the promise of the Holy Spirit given through King David, a humble and contrite heart. You will not spurn the last words of Teresa of Avila. Lord, we humble ourselves before you on our knees this night, in our hearts, in our minds. We recognize we are not perfect. Yet, the good news is we have a Savior. You came to die on the cross for our sins. You shed your blood for our sins. Each and every day, Lord, if we humble ourselves before you, we receive your great gift of mercy, unmerited, undeserved. Lord Jesus, help us to not only know of your mercy, but to experience it this night, each and every day, but most especially this night as we gather here as this parish family. Far from a perfect parish family, but nonetheless one of great trust in you. Lord, bind our wounds and the ways that we turn from your grace, the ways we live out selfishness. Lord, give us that strength to purify our hearts and our ways, to be clean of heart. Give us clean hands, Lord. Give us pure hearts. Bind up our wounds, Lord, and may we experience the great depths of your infinite love and mercy this night. And Blessed Mother Mary, Our Lady of Mercy, we ask for you to intercede for us, your children, in a special way, to experience your Son's mercy this night as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Saint Faustina, pray for us.
Sing all around. by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. How you love me. Dance, you dance over me while I am unaware, while I am unaware. You sing all around, you sing all around. I never hear the sound, but I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. Just sing that again. Lord, I'm amazed. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. How you love me. You sing, how wide. How wide, how deep, how deep, how great is your love for me, is your love. By you, Lord, I'm amazed by you, how you love me.
Please stand for a reading from the Holy Gospel. The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was late the same day, the first of the week, though the doors where the disciples gathered had been locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced at the sight of the Lord. He therefore said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed upon them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please be seated. Good evening, everyone. Good to see you back here for our second night of the parish mission. And the theme is reconciliation, the mercy of the Lord. Last night we had a talk and time of praise and worship and prayer, reflecting on the prayer, and just the deep and how we can grow in our prayer according to example of St. Francis. And tonight we look at reconciliation with a little Franciscan spirituality as well. You know, St. Francis was known, again, he gets a bad rap. I think if you go down to Home Depot or some of these garden centers, you get your St. Francis with a bird on the shoulder and a bird bath, right? Yet he was always known as the saint of peace. The saint of peace. He always wished to reconcile people. He hated to hear arguments. I mean, I think if St. Francis was alive today, at least he is alive today, but if he could watch CNN or if he could watch some of these shows where you have differing viewpoints and they're arguing points, he would be absolutely disgusted because he hated to hear arguing. He forbid his brothers. That's why Brother Joachim and I have to argue behind closed doors. At least in public, he forbid his brothers to argue. They couldn't even argue with anyone about the faith. They could give their witness about their Catholic faith, but they couldn't argue with anyone about it. He really had a distaste of that. And he understood that one of the greatest gifts that God gives to us in our life is peace. And that was part of the what we call the original harmony, what Adam and Eve enjoyed in the Garden of Eden, right? In the Garden of Eden. And you and I know what happened in the Garden of Eden, right? Well, a lot of good stuff happened in the garden. Then, of course, they messed up, right? And it was interesting how if you follow those Genesis 3, Genesis 1 and 2 is the beauty of creation. Genesis 3 is like, uh-oh, you know, look what happened. And it's very, very interesting to see what happens in Genesis 3 and following, because it helps us to understand why we lose our peace and the importance of reconciliation and what's inherent in every human being when it comes to confession. Because oftentimes you will hear this amongst Catholics and non-Catholics. I don't understand why you have to go to a priest to confess. Did you ever hear that one before? Yeah, well, I just go straight to God. And my response is always, really? You go straight to God, do you, about all your sins? Okay, let's review Genesis 3 here a little bit. I wish I had it in front of me, but I'm going to paraphrase it for you, okay? So you know, the devil came in the form of a snake. Now, point one, if you ever see a snake talk to you, don't talk back to him, okay? Just pretend like you don't hear anything, right? Now let that snake, just let him talk to himself, okay? So the first mistake was Eve entered into a dialogue with a snake, right? Don't do that. And, of course, the snake induces this doubt. Did God really say that you couldn't eat of all the trees? So Eve saw the fruit. It was good. It was pleasing to the eyes. She ate the fruit. Adam had, in my opinion, the bigger sin. Why? He's standing right next to his wife and says nothing. He does absolutely. So I know Eve gets the guys blame Eve. You know, you got us into this mess, right? But I think the guys had actually the bigger problem, Adam, because he didn't say anything. He eats the fruit. They realize that they're naked. Now, do you notice in Genesis that when God gives the commandment not to eat of that fruit, he doesn't want Adam and Eve to know good from evil. Now, knowing in that biblical language, in the Hebrew language, means a very intimate experience. Adam knew his wife. That means they had intimate relations. So when you see that word to know, it means to intimately experience. What God did not want Adam and Eve to experience, to know, what he did not want us to experience is sin. And for those of us who've been around the block, we can look back in our past, right? And we don't even have to wait until purgatory. We can already say, I wish I didn't have to experience that in my past. Isn't it true for those of us who are around the block, right? We wish we could go back and take that back, a lot of things, even the things that we say, the things that we might do. So now Adam and Eve experience, not just know what sin is, they know the law. I know the Ten Commandments, I know what they are, but they experienced the breaking of that covenant with God. They realize that they're naked, they find some clothes to put on. Now, here's Genesis 3. Then they hear God walking in the garden. All right, modern translation. Dad's home, you're upstairs under the bed. All right? And you're like, oh, here it comes, right? You can, I don't know if Brother Joachim had that experience, maybe we'll find out tonight. Dad's home, uh-oh, right? So God says, Adam and Eve, oh, where are you? Now, God knows everything. He knows they're hiding behind the tree. He can see them, you know, shh, don't say nothing. Maybe he won't see us, right? God knows that. What does really God, for those of you who are parents, who have been parents, what do you want from your child, irregardless of what they've done? You want honesty, right? Don't you want honesty? Just tell the truth, right? Even Americans are a tremendously forgiving people, right? Even with a politician, just tell the truth. Or A-Rod, someone asked us about A-Rod in the high school. Just tell the truth, whether you did the drugs or not, right? And get on with your life. Ask for forgiveness. It's very interesting. But no, somehow there's something inherent in all of us that we have a hard time doing that, even with God. Adam and Eve, where are you? It's a good father asking them, what have you done? So then finally, you know, all right, they come out. It's like, well, they realize they can't hide from God. Well, we heard you in the garden and we were naked, you know, so we hid. God, question number two, who told you that you were naked? In a way, God knows everything, my brothers and sisters. He knows everything. What is he asking of his children? Just tell me the truth. Who told you that you were naked? Who told you? Right? Silence. Question number three. Did you eat of the fruit of the tree that you were forbidden to eat of? Now, here's a straight, direct question, right? A yes or no answer, right? You ever get a yes or no? It's a simple one, and somehow your children somehow are able to get around to the yes or the no. So Adam says this, and if you want to check your Bibles, I really challenge you to do this. Why is it that we just don't go straight to God for our sins? Because we can deceive ourselves. Adam said, the woman who you gave me made me do it. Now, see, no, he's not just one finger. He's got two fingers going on there. I have no fault in this. It's you and her, right? God says, oy vey. Right? Okay. Let me go to the woman now. Did you eat of the... He couldn't even get a yes or no. Did you do it? He made me do it. The devil. Right? He's a good scapegoat sometimes, right? Honey, why did you do that? The devil made me do it. Right? So even there's no honesty there. Now, the devil played his part. He did play his part. But they had free will. Right? And so then we know, okay, the devil, all right, you did this, all right. And then here comes the promise that a woman will come. We know Our Lady, her seed would be victorious over the evil one, right? So our Blessed Mother, it's called the Proto-Evangelium, the beginnings of the gospel, the promise that Jesus and Mary would come and have her son Jesus, and they would be victorious over sin. The results of that original sin we know well. Cain kills Abel. God says to Adam, you will be working. Eve will have pain in childbirth. Right? He says that the relationships between men and women, it's really symbolic of all peoples, will now be characterized by lust and domination. Sounds like our world, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like our world? So turn on the news. So what happens now is there becomes four breaks within the world. One, a break with God. Did you ever think it to yourself, even though we have baptism, we have the effects of original sin, why is it so hard to have a relationship with God? Why do I run from him so much? Why is it so hard to pray to him sometimes? These are what we feel and what we experience as the effects of original sin. Two, why is it that human relationships, I mean, in a most extreme case, ISIS, it could be an ISIS kind of, or the Islamic State, or the warring and genocide in Africa, very extreme cases, but even down to our own personal lives, what you experience in your marriages and your families, what I do as well. Why is it so hard to get along with people? And why is it that we fight and we give in to really relationships that can be marked by lust and domination? Why is that? It's the effects of original sin, the break between human relationships. 3, St. Paul says, Lord, why don't I do the things you want me to do? And why do I do the things that you don't want me to do? Even St. Paul experienced this tension between spirit and flesh, he would say. They war against one another, right? So we can know what the truth is, yet we can still choose against it. The third break between our spirit and our body, right? Even Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He even said this, so we experience this as a... And finally, does anybody here have a pet alligator? No. Okay. What about a pet hippopotamus? No. Do you have a rattlesnake you carry around in, with you in your shoebox? No. This is the fourth break. Adam and Eve didn't have to worry about crocodiles or anything like that. The fourth break is with creation. Okay. Before that, everything was in original harmony. Now, Jesus came. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, his only son into the world, right? Why? To heal these four relationships. To heal them. Right? First, our relationship with the Father. Okay? To restore us in baptism, we become children of his Father. Second, to restore our relationships with one another. You know, the effects of confession and the Eucharist help to restore this communion, to make us a holy communion. And the Eucharist does that. 3, to help us heal with this tension inside between flesh and spirit. And 4th, well, we see it in some of the saints. Saint Francis had the bird bath. Okay, he had the birds and he was friends with the wolf, and plenty of the saints showed us that they could befriend alligators and crocodiles and all sorts of things. For most of us, it's going to wait, all right? That one's going to have to wait till the end, but we still have cats and dogs and things like the brothers. We have mice and rats in New York, all right? So we're working on it, right? We're working on the end of Jesus' grace. And I told you about the mouse last night, okay, doing his holy hour with the brothers. This comes, and we see it with saints, but it's something that we probably experience more of the first 3. And God, as I read, Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, what's the first thing he gives to the apostles? And he tells them, peace be with you. He's going to give us a formula for a happy, peaceful life. All right, he's not saying you're not going to be without suffering, okay, but peace, the great gift of peace. He's going to say, peace be with you. You realize they were afraid, right? And they had sin on their souls. They betrayed the Lord. Peter denied the Lord. They had some serious sin on their souls. And Jesus says, peace be with you. And he was going to give us the formula how to have peace in our lives. He breathes on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. You who sin, the sins that you forgive are forgiven. He gives them the power, in a way, the sacrament of confession. Why does he give it to us? 1, because like Adam and Eve, you and I can deceive ourselves about all sorts of things. Brother Joachim and I, right? Well, okay, we've worked with youth, but we also work with the homeless, and many of those homeless have tremendous addictions. And you know what? One of the first signs of an addict is denial. Denial. Jesus said, if you sin, you're a slave to sin. In a way, there's an addictive kind of a part of all of us, right? Especially if we go down a road of sin. We can deceive ourselves. That's why we need another person, right? It's kind of like the doctor. I don't need to go to the doctor, right? How's your blood pressure? Sure, it's fine. Might be pretty high. How's your blood sugar? No problem. Cholesterol? Yeah, I don't need to see a doctor. I'm sure everything's okay, right? And then, oh my gosh, after a few years, whoa. It's like we need a third party, a doctor, to come to us. That's the first thing. The second thing is, is that the Lord wants us to experience mercy, not just to know it. So, like, if your Protestant friend knocks the door, why do you Catholics have to go to the priest? God wants us to experience mercy, not just to know it. I go straight to God. I have nothing to worry about. But do you experience His mercy? Well, I know that I'm forgiven. You might know it intellectually, but He wants to give it experientially. And that's in confession. Oftentimes, where people have been away from confession, right, Brother Jogan, for like 30, 40 years, it's like they sprouted wings and flew out of the church. It is the most amazing thing. Out they go, like St. Joseph Cupertino, right? It's absolutely amazing. In the Old Testament, when you would go to the temple and you would offer a sacrifice for your sins, depending on how many sins and the bigness of your sins, you might bring a ram, a lamb, all right, maybe a couple turtle doves, but if you brought the lamb and the sheep for your, or can you imagine a bull? You drag them up, you got to pay for these things. Some of you are farmers. You know, a bull doesn't grow on trees, right? They're expensive animals, right? Or sheep, or like, you know, bring this guy in there. And then you would confess your sins to the priest. Old Testament, Book of Leviticus. You'd go to the temple, you'd tell the priest your sins. He would hand you a knife. Oh, really? What would you do with a knife, Father Anthony? He would hand you the knife, and then you would slaughter that animal and butcher it. Now, those of you who are farmers and have livestock know, when you slaughter an animal, it's not the most peaceful thing, is it? The screams and the blood and everything. Why do you think the Lord had set that thing up? Old covenant. You would never, ever forget that, would you? You would never forget that time I went up to the temple and I offered that lamb and I had to do the sacrifice myself. You would get the blood all over your hands. In a way, you would see what your sins cost, right? Well, now the priest gives you three Hail Marys. Not too bad, right? Versus an ox or a bull or something. It gives you three Hail Marys. No blood on our hands. Why? That's why. Because the sacrifice our Lord came and He gave to the world. And it's represented, and in a way it's like medicine that keeps being reapplied. Not that it's a sacrifice that keeps being sacrificed. It's the one sacrifice of Christ, that's the medicine that keeps being applied to us. The Lord wants us to experience His love. Not just to know it. To experience His mercy. Not just to know it. I'll leave you with this final story before we start our confessions, and I invite Brother Joel to come up. A few years ago, when I was a first-year priest, I was a baby priest in 2005, Brother Joachim and I were stationed together in the South Bronx, all right, at Our Lady of the Angels Friary. And the South Bronx is a very, very interesting place, a lot of different interesting things. People drive on the sidewalks, and anything kind of goes in the South Bronx, especially back then. Well, I had, during this time, I haven't had many experiences of God, but I did have this one that I'd like to share with you. And I'm not sure, it was like one of those hot nights. Remember, we called it the vertical submarine, right? There's like, I don't know, four or five floors that go straight up, and it's very narrow, and bricks all over, so it's like a brick oven in the summertime. Very, very hot. So, I don't know, it was like 2 or 3 in the morning, and I couldn't sleep, and I was sweating, and so I was kind of like in a dream state and not, and I kind of had this, what I think would be an experience of God, that I was envisioning crossing the street, 155th Street, we're there in the South Bronx, and this taxi cab. Now they have these, not the yellow taxi cabs, they have what we call gypsy taxi cabs, and they're the Lincoln Town cars, and they are really crazy, and they cause more accidents, and they run over more people. I'm telling you, you have to be, you drive around shaking, driving the steering wheel around these things. Well, I had this dream. I was crossing the street. There was something on the other side of the street, and I got hit by this car. And, you know, it must have been the 2 or 3 in the morning thing, and there I go up to heaven. And I'm in this long line of, like, sinners, right? It's just like a crowd too many to count. And I'm saying, well, you know, I mean, looking back on it, I was thinking it's going to be 3 months before I get up there, you know. So finally get up there, and there's St. Peter. And I always loved St. Peter because he fell big, but then now he's holding the keys, you know. So I had a big, I do have a big devotion to St. Peter. And I said to St. Peter, and I see the big books there, because you look in the book of Revelation, there's some big books with all the stuff written in there. I pray he's got a big eraser. He's getting Father Anthony's stuff out of there, you know, at least the bad stuff. So I said, St. Peter, Father Anthony here. He says, what happened to you? I said, I got run over by a car in the Bronx. Right? He says, oh, that's too bad. So he opens a book, and he's turning the pages, right? And you can imagine, like, your knees start to shake a little bit, and you're, like, trembling. Because you know instinctively what's in that book, right? Oh, boy, I'm in trouble. So he's looking at the book. He's going, It's like the doctor looking over your blood work. He closes the book and he says, I'll tell you what. He says, I want you to do me a favor and I'll let you into heaven. I said, what? I want you to spell for me mercy. And so I said, easy. M-E-R-C-Y. You can come in. And I said, that's it? All these years I was worried about heaven. I thought I'd be in purgatory till the end of time. I just felt mercy, right? He says, yeah. So he lets me in the gates of heaven. And then he says, now I want you to do me one more favor. He says, it's been a while, you know, since I've gotten a little break. I got to get a cup of coffee or something like that, you know, go to the bathroom. Can you just cover the gate for me? Still my dream. Okay. This is like this long line of people. He says, what do I do? Just ask him the same question. I said, can I look at the books and make him nervous? Yeah. Okay, so still my dream. Brother Joachim, now the next day, in my dream, because we were stationed together, gets run over by the same taxi cab the next day. And so he sees me. Again, I'm going through the numbers, and he sees me way off, a mile back. And he's like, I can't believe what's Father Anthony doing at the pearly gates, right? And he sees me, starts screaming, Father Anthony, Father Anthony. He's trying to get my attention, and I couldn't because I was like engrossed in the questions and making people nervous. And he finally gets up to me. I said, Brother Joachim, what happened to you? He says, I got hit by a taxi cab driver. I said, the same guy who hit me, right? He says, yeah. He says, where's St. Peter? I said, he's on bathroom break. So he says, can I come into heaven? I said, wait a minute. I said, you have to do, you know, I have to look over your file here. So I open the books. I'm looking over Brother Joachim's file, you know, all the things in there. And he's got an extra big book, you know, so I'm like reading this thing, you know. And he's just looking at me, right? He didn't face him. I said, okay, listen, to be honest with you, St. Peter said you just have to answer one question to get into heaven. He says, what is it? I said, well, you have to spell a word. He says, great, I was great at spelling. So just spell Czechoslovakia. Then I woke up in the South Bronx, right? Brother Joachim's pounding on my door or something like that. But isn't it true? We find our identity in being repentant sinners. The first question in an interview with Pope Francis, they asked him, who is Cardinal Bergoglio? This is just when he was elected. He says, Cardinal Bergoglio is a man, is a sinner whom God has looked upon with great mercy. That's how he saw his identity. Isn't that beautiful? He's a sinner whom God has looked upon with great mercy. That is your and mine identity as well. We are sinners. And that's the bad news. The good news is God comes to us and lifts us up and carries our cross with us, like Simeon did with our Lord during the stations of the cross, during the way of the cross. And he gives us a share when we receive already on earth those heavenly gifts that St. Paul talks about. One is the gift of being forgiven, that we hear the words, your sins are forgiven. It's a beautiful gift that we have as Catholics, of course, the Orthodox, as well, this great gift of confession. At this time, I'll ask Brother Joachim to come up, and he's going to share the second half, part two, but really how confession really was a hinge point and a change of his life.
CZ. No, I'm kidding. I would have definitely went down on that one. Right now, just before I get started, Father Anthony is heading to the back. I believe Father Matt's coming up. Confessions are beginning. I will not be offended at all if you get up while I'm talking and go to confession. I will actually love you even more because what I have to say is not that important, but God's mercy really is. So I finished last night just telling you about where I started to see God, right? My brother passed away. He wrote a little letter. In that letter it said, being a man is not about how much you can drink, how many women you can be with, how much drugs you can do, or how much weight you can lift. Being a man is knowing who you are and knowing God in your heart. And my brother, as I believe I told you last night, before his death, he came fully back into the church and received all his sacraments before passing away. And I saw in the church the mercy of God. And I said that prayer, God, if you exist, prove it to me. Again, that's sort of the magician in the sky sort of prayer. But it was that first true prayer that I prayed because I was really seeking at that moment. I was seeking God. And we know that God tells us, if you knock, you will find it. If you seek, you will find. The door will be opened for you. And so I started to go back to church again, and I started actually for the first time in my life listening at Mass. The priest would read the gospel, the lector would read the readings, and I would listen. And it just really started to hit me who God was. I was still doing things that weren't the best, but on Sundays, I reserved Sundays for God. It became a day for the Lord for me. The rest of the week, I was still kind of doing my own thing. You know, Friday nights, I was still going out to the bars with my friends, drinking, but not Saturday night. And one of my friends noticed, as we were making plans during the week, said, listen, you haven't been coming out with us on Saturday nights to the bars anymore. What's going on? And I said, well, you know, I've been going to church on Sunday, and I just don't want to hear the organ with a hangover, really, is what it was. And a friend of mine, you know, one of my friends says to me, he goes, oh, you're a little church boy now, huh? I said, you want to go outside? He's like, no, if you want to go to church, that's fine. But another one of my friends was there. And he was baptized and raised Presbyterian. But he was getting married to a girl who was Catholic. And he wanted to look into the Catholic Church, talk to the director of religious education. And so he said to me, hey, you know, could you bring me? And I said, sure, I'll bring you over there and meet the lady there. And so I bring him and we show up. And I wanted to show off, sort of, that I had been paying attention at Mass and things like that, because earlier in the week, that Sunday, she had come up and was looking for a fourth grade religious education teacher for Sunday mornings. So I just, you know, kind of showing off, yeah, I go to Mass, you know. Hey, did you get that fourth grade teacher that you're looking for? She goes, oh no, are you interested? No, I'm not interested. She goes, oh, no, you should do it. No, thanks. I'm not interested. Oh, no, really, you should do this. No, thank you. Thanks, but no. No, really, you should do it. No. Really, come on. We need somebody, you know, you should do it. No. Oh, come on. Just give it a shot. You'll be good at it. You'll do a fine job. You'll be great. I'll be great? You don't know me. Remember, I'm a Northeasterner, so you don't know me. You don't know anything about me. I could be an axe murderer. She said, would you like to teach 7th and 8th grade? It's a true story. It's a true story. I guess she did not like the 7th and 8th graders. If there's any teachers here, I think you know what I'm talking about. So I said, look, I just came back, started going back to church. I don't really know much about the faith. I can't teach. She says, well, why don't you come and help out, especially in the 7th and 8th grade, to have a young man there. I was young at the time, so to have a young man there. And all you have to do is sharpen the pencils, but you'd be a great witness to the kids. So all I have to do is sharpen pencils? Yeah, that's all you? Okay, great. I'll do that. I'll give some time. Again, I was opening myself up a little bit to what God was asking of me. Just a little bit. Just letting them creep in. So I show up for the first day of class, and of course, right away, the kids start asking me questions. And I feel like a complete moron. I don't know anything. So I sharpen a few pencils, and I get out of there as quick as I can. And I go to the one person that I knew stuff about God, but I really didn't want to go to. My mom. My mom, who had, through all my troubles, always told me, don't worry, one day you're going to become a priest. Yeah, Ma, okay. So I show up to my mom, and I said, Ma, you know, I've been going to church again. She goes, oh, yeah, I know. And I was waiting for the I told you so. But my mom was very smart. She didn't pull the I told you so. And I said, Ma, I started volunteering, helping out in the 7th and 8th grade. Oh, yeah, I know. I didn't know the girl that I was helping teach the class with was in the same prayer group as my mom. They were tag-teaming me, you know. So I said, Ma, the kids are asking me questions. I don't really know anything. And she says, oh, that's no problem. Here, I'll give you some stuff. My mom hands me, the first thing, a set of rosary beads and a pamphlet, How to Pray the Rosary. My mom sending me to my mom, right? The next thing she handed me was a book by Dr. Scott Hahn. I'm sure many of you have heard of him. If not, buy his books. He teaches the faith the right way. He's excellent. And start with Rome, Sweet Home. It's the simplest thing. It's his conversion story. And then kind of go step by step with him. But I read this stuff and I was started thinking, whoa. Because he had a big conversion. And I was at Mass one day, and I was actually praying at Mass. This is a miracle happening there. I was really trying my all to pray through Mass, and we got to the Creed. And you all know the Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Yes, I believe that. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son. Yes, I believe. Born of the Virgin. Yep, check. Believe in the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah. Lord, give her. Yep, check. I believe in the one holy Catholic apostolic church. Ooh. I believe in one holy Catholic apostolic church. That means all of these things that the church says, I believe. I've been saying it, but just saying it and believing it are two very different things. And I had to start checking myself. Do I really believe this? I had a few problems. One of them was confession. I have this aunt who's a really holy aunt. She's a Third Order Dominican. Great lady. And we would have discussions on confession all the time. And I would just tell her, I still think it's just something the church wants to know your business. They wanted to know your business from way back in the day. The priest is getting over you. That's how he gets his money. You know, he's not going to tell anybody as long as I keep putting it into that plate. And I just couldn't get past that in my head. And so my friend came back to me, the one that I had set up going, he was going through his RCIA classes. And being that he was already baptized, all he had to do was get receive communion and get confirmed. But before that, he had to do his first confession. And there was a parish mission going on down the street. And he called me up and he said, hey, Wednesday night, down at St. Matthew's, there's going to be confessions going on. I need to go. Will you come with me? Nah, you could go. He's like, come on, I really would like to have somebody to come with me. No, I'm kind of busy Wednesday night. Oh, come on, can you change your place? No, it's something really important. Well, what do you got going on? He goes, we always do everything together. We're best friends. We hang out all the time. What do you got going on Wednesday night? Something else. He's like, come on, just come with me. I was like, all right, I'll go. Knowing to myself, I'm not going to confession. It ain't happening. So I go with him. And we get there a little bit late. There's lines already forming and everything else. And he's like, come on, I can get in line. I was like, all right. And I figure I'll just stand behind him in line. And we're doing the one thing you're not really supposed to be doing in the confessional line. We're talking. We're talking to each other. Neither one of us really knew what the heck we were doing. And he pulled a terrible stinking move on me. How many of you ever been in a cafeteria line for food? Anyone? A few of you. Okay, you know what I'm talking about then. All right, there's the cafeteria move, what I call the cafeteria line move. It's pretty simple. You're standing there, somebody's in front of you, and you see they got like some sloppy macaroni and cheese that nobody's going to want, some turkey and gravy that looks like it's been there for 4 days, and then you got like a cannoli and a slice of pizza over here, and you're like, that's what I want. So you start talking to the person that's in front of you, and as you're talking, you just kind of move and get in front of them. And then you got the slice of pizza and the cannoli, and they're stuck with the five-day-old turkey. You know, it works out great. Everybody wins. Well, he does the reverse cafeteria line. We're talking, and he starts coming on around me. And then just as he gets behind me and I realize what's happened, the lady gets out of the confessional and says, oh, come on right in. You're next. And I think to myself, "This guy, I'm going to kill this guy. I'm really going to have to go to confession." So I start walking in, and my whole world goes into slow motion. I've got one foot, literally, I've got one foot in the door and one foot out of the door. And I hear my friend say, oh, there's nobody with that other priest. I'm going to go over there. And I've got my escape. All right, everything stops. And I hear the priest from inside say, oh, come on in. And everything is in such, it was like The Matrix. You know the movie The Matrix? If he threw a blessing at me, I would have been able to duck it, and the grace went right over my head. It was that kind of thing happened. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, all right, I'm here. And it really was a grace from God, you know. I really think the old lady just pushed me from behind. I go in, and I look over, and I've got the kneeler, and I've got the chair. And I have a flashback. My first confession, I went right back to it. There was two girls in front. I told you I got kicked out of Catholic school. This was before I got kicked out of Catholic school. At least I got my first confession in. There was two girls in front of me in line, because we all went by alphabetical order for our first confession. And two girls there in front of me. And I come up and I go to the kneeler, and one of those girls had to have been really nervous, because I knelt down into a puddle. So I made sure that I was not going to kneel again, because I don't know if that old lady before me was nervous or not. I'm sitting down. But I sit down, and remember, I'm Mr. Tough Guy back then, you know? So I sit down, and I take the chair, and I move it even closer to the priest. And I sit down, and I kind of just get in his face. I just sit there. And he goes, "Would you like to go to confession? Would you like me to go to confession? That's what I'm here for." Huh, this guy outsmarted me. I said, "Yeah, why not?" So he says, "Let's start in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit." He says, "How long has it been since your last confession?" "Father, I don't know." "Okay, let's go through it then." We start going through my life. I start telling him, "I'm not telling you my sins. I'm not going to public confession. You know, they haven't done that in the church in a long time. I'm not starting it again tonight." Okay? I start going through my confession. All of a sudden, I still see the priest there, but I see just superimposed over the priest, Jesus. I'm not crazy. This is what I see. And I started crying. In my family, you don't cry unless the Patriots win the Super Bowl. You know, I started crying. And the priest started crying as well. And I knew at that moment, that prayer I had said years ago, "Jesus, God, if you exist, prove it to me." And we have a God who is so good that he knew it would take me getting hit by a Buick Regal. It would take my brother dying. And it would take this miracle of grace of seeing Jesus there with the priest, hearing my confession, for me to know that I was loved. I had a very good family, but I did not know that I was loved. I did not know why I was created. And I knew at that moment that I was loved and I was created because God wanted me. And my whole entire life changed. I walked out of that confession, eyes bug red. Walking out, my friend's looking at me. He's looking at me. He's not saying nice, looking at me. And he finally goes, "What did you do?" And I simply said to him, I said, "I can't talk right now." And I couldn't. But a weight had been lifted off my shoulders. A weight that's never been back again. It's on my stomach now. It's not on my shoulders. And I started really at that moment to be freed up in prayer. To really to be able to bring myself completely to Jesus. And I started asking that question, "Lord, what do you want of me? What more do you want?" And I started thinking about missionary work, because every now and again, a missionary would come into our parish on a Sunday and would talk about the work that he or she was doing and asking money, you know, to help with the missions. I had a pretty good job at that point. I was no longer working road construction. I was working for a mortgage company. I was making good money. So I'd always donate a good amount of money. I started thinking, "Boy, Lord, that would be pretty neat. I could go to Africa or Central America, meet a beautiful woman down there, get a nice family. That'd be pretty nice." And so I was asked by my parish priest, who had become my spiritual director, to go on a youth retreat as a chaperone. The Franciscan University of Steubenville does their summer conferences. Maybe you've heard of them. And I said, "Sure, why not? I'll go as a chaperone." And so I went on the chaperone and asking God, really, that was my intention, "What do you want from me?" And they had a Eucharistic procession. I went to confession the first night. The second night they were having a Eucharistic procession. And as Jesus is coming by, I'm just asking him, "Lord, what is it that you want? What is it that you want?" And everybody's all around me, "Yes, Lord, praise you, Lord, praise you, Jesus." You know, and I'm sitting there thinking, "Lord, what do you want?" And I hear, clear as a bell, "If you wish to be perfect, sell all that you own and come follow me." And my response, of course, was, "No, out loud.
No.
Everybody else, yes, Lord, yeah. No. And I kind of looked and I was like, no, no. I said, Lord, that's too much. All I knew of at the time was Catholic diocesan priest. Didn't know anything of religious brothers, just the priesthood and the diocesan life. So I said, Lord, just send me a good Catholic girl. I'll make you 50 priests. I'll make you 80 nuns. I'll make you some deacons, whatever you need, Lord. I'll build an army up for you. But don't ask me to do that. And so the retreat ended. I headed home. And I met this wonderful girl. Same parish and everything else. And asked her out. She said, sure. So we started going out on dates. I had season at the time I was living down in Tampa. I had season tickets to the Rays down there. At the time, they were still the Devil Rays. You know, this is way back. So I had season tickets down there. And she ended up liking baseball as well. I was like, Lord, this is good. You're doing good. She's beautiful. She likes baseball. She's Catholic. We got it going on. We'll get married. I'll get working on those priests for you. We're going to do it good. And so, of course, as I'm dating her, you're getting to know somebody. And I said to her, she was a librarian. I said, so how long have you been a librarian? Right after college or something? She goes, oh, no. She says, after college, I went into the convent for a couple of years. Is this legal? And at the time, John Paul was the Pope. I was expecting a knock on my door. Don't be afraid, you know. I thought the Pope was going to come with a gun and knock me out. But she said, no, I never made vows. You know, my mom got sick with cancer. I came home and discerned married life. So I'm like, okay. So every now and again, I would just ask, what was it like, you know, being in a convent? What was that like? What'd you do? And she said, oh, you know, well, we did lots of things. We would we'd often be with the brothers and go and pray in front of abortion clinics. We helped the brothers in their homeless shelter. We helped the brothers with their youth center. And I said, why are you calling them brothers? Why aren't you calling them fathers? Why aren't you calling them priests? She said, oh, some in the order are, but the majority are brothers. I said, what's the difference? And she said, well, you know, a brother is someone who's consecrated to the Lord in a special way, takes the same vows as a religious priest, poverty, chastity, and obedience, but lives a deep life of prayer and work. And in this community, it was work with the poor. All of a sudden, the light bulb, bing, goes off. And I was like, Lord, that's what you've been calling me to. And I was thinking, boy, that would be neat. I'm like, but God, you sent me the good Catholic girl. I asked for it. You sent it. I'm enjoying this kind of thing, you know. So I continued to date her. I meet her parents. They loved me. And she tells me the next day, she says, you know, my mom, she loves you, but she says it's never going to work out between us. I go, why is that? She said, oh, you're going to go up to New York and become a friar, my mom said. I was like, yeah, that's funny. By the way, her mom was miraculously healed by Padre Pio as well. So after about 9 months of dating her, I couldn't sleep. God was tugging pretty hard on my heart. At that point in my life, I was going to adoration at least once a week, but often like 4 or 5 times a week, whenever I could get in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And so I told her, I said, I got to go up to New York. I got to check this out. She cried. Wouldn't you? I mean, so a couple of days later, I'm in adoration, and she comes into adoration, and she hands me the information to get a hold of the friars. Tears coming down her face. What a sacrifice that she made, a beautiful sacrifice. And I walk out of adoration, I leave the church, and I hold the door for a young man coming in. Today, they're married with 4 beautiful children. God really knows what he's doing, right? Here I am, 12 years now as a friar, and completely in love with the Lord. He knows what he's doing. First time I went, visited the friars, I knew this is where I'm spending the rest of my life. Only God can give you that sort of peace. When he gives you your vocation, when he gives you your mercy, he gives you his peace. And you receive that peace, especially in his sacraments. But stay close to Jesus. Stay close to God. Again, confession will be available all night. We won't be ending in benediction. But stay as long as you like and pray. Get to the sacrament. And just leave on your own this evening. And remember, tomorrow, again, 7 p.m., bring your friend. We're going to have the Eucharistic healing service tomorrow night. Good night. God bless.
Just gonna take some time just to pray, just to approach the Lord. If you need to receive this mercy that God wants to offer, please don't hesitate to do that. We're just going to sit and be with Jesus and worship Jesus.
Down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God.
Just want to encourage you to open up your hearts to the Lord. Just whatever's going on inside of your heart, just to open it up to Jesus. Just to invite Jesus in. Just to focus on the Lord right now. And just surrender to Him. We're going to sing, "There's no place I'd rather be but here in your love."
no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. And here in your love, here in your love, there's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. And here in your love, here in your love, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. So set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. What do you want to say to me, my Lord? What do you want to say to me? What do you want to say to me, my Lord?
What do you want to say to me? Sing that.
What do you want to say to me? What do you want to say to me, my Lord? What do you want to say to me?
What do you want to say to me?
What do you want to say to me, my Lord?
See, you are so amazing.
You are so amazing. You are so amazing. You are so amazing, Lord.
Father Ben is also hearing confessions in the sacristy right now. Just to encourage you guys, just to take up that offer from Father Anthony, from Brother Joachim, just to receive mercy, just to receive this forgiveness that Jesus has won for us. And just to rest in that, just to rest in His love.
What do you want to say to me? What do you want to say to me, my Lord? What do you want to say to me? What do you want to say to me, my Lord? What do you want to say to me? What do you want to say to me, oh Lord? What do you want to say to me? What do you want to say?
What do you want to say to me, my Lord? You are so amazing. You are so amazing. You are so amazing, Lord.
Sing that, you are so amazing.
You are so amazing. You are so amazing. You are so amazing, Lord.
You are so amazing.
You are so amazing. You are so amazing. You are so amazing, Lord.
You are so amazing.
You are so amazing. You are so amazing. You are so amazing,
Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Worship you, Jesus.
Lord, I come and I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. And every hour I need. My one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Lord, I come and I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. And Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. And every hour I need you, my one defense, my righteousness, oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. My one defense, my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
We need you, Jesus.
We love you, Jesus.
Come, Holy Spirit. We worship you, Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord.
Open our hearts, Lord Jesus. Free us, Lord. Free us from our sin. Embrace us, Lord. Help us to run back to you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Fill up our hearts, Lord God. Create in us clean hearts. Renew in us a steadfast spirit. Have mercy on us, Lord, according to your abundant mercy. Wash us from our sin. Blot out all of our transgressions, Lord.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. Altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above, and humbly you sick became poor. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. But here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sins upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sins upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Praise you, Jesus.
Worship you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. We worship you, Lord. We worship you.
blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of white as snow. love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. One of my favorite scripture passages is from the Gospel of Luke, in the story of the prodigal son. There's so many intentional parts of that story that just Luke really adds on purpose, you know. And one of my favorite, very intentional parts of that story is that it says, while the son was still a long way off, that God, that the father ran out to embrace him. That was, that's unheard of, you know, that's a, the time period that this is written in, the cultural context, the significance of that point, that the father, the head of the household, the master, the patriarch, would run. You know, he didn't run for anyone. He didn't move for anyone. People moved for him. People obeyed him. But yet, out of great love, he runs toward his son. It's just this radical image of God the Father's love for us. He's not waiting for us. He's not mounted on his throne, glaring us down, waiting for us to crawl back to him. He's running out towards us. He's running with open arms back towards us, to embrace us, not to condemn us, not to chastise us, not to judge us, but to embrace us and to love us. So we just pray, God, that you would just let us run back to you as you run towards us, Jesus. Help us to meet you in that embrace, God. However long we've been away, we just thank you for your radical mercy, Lord, for your love. This chorus is really simple. It's just, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us so.
Oh, how he loves us so. And oh, how he loves us. And how he loves us so. And oh, and how he loves us so. How he loves us, how he loves us.
are his portion and he is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If his grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. And heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. And I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way he loves us. And oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he loves. Just sing that out. And he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he loves. And he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he loves. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. the Spirit of the Lord is. There is freedom. Let's just sing that, where the Spirit of the Lord is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. And Jesus reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace, they are falling, will never efface. There's freedom. If you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. If you're tired and thirsty, there is freedom. Jesus reigns in this place, showers of mercy and grace, they are falling on every face. There is freedom. Jesus reigns in this place. Showers of mercy and grace, they are for.